Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great. Good morning. Mr. Buckeye.
All right.
That's all right. We're all inclusive here, right? Michigan fans, Buckeye fans, Wisconsin, right? LSU, whoever you are, right? Tis the season. Today is the second Sunday of Advent for 2019, and for our reflection on Word Made Flesh today, we've opted to take one of those Advent readings from the second Sunday of Advent, the writing of the prophet Isaiah. It's Isaiah's vision of the peaceable kingdom yet to come. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. So, Eric, if you'd be ever so kind as to read that for us, sure. I'd certainly appreciate it.
The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness a sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them.
Okay. Interesting business model, right? When children lead.
Yeah.
This whole vision for Isaiah is kind of what we call in biblical scholarship, you know, the great reversal. Who really envisions a wolf not eating lambs? All right, who seriously, I don't know many parents are going to let their children play with cobra snakes. Right, it's rather than identify that as, for Isaiah, kind of a literal, right, foreseeing of the peaceable kingdom, as much as there's going to be peace, and here's a couple ways in which we'll know that, right, those type of things. But, having read that, how about a couple of reflections? Who wants to jump in first? Anybody?
I like this lead up, kind of the juxtaposition of the Messiah. So it starts with the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, and then it opens these up with what the Spirit of the Lord kind of is. You know, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. But then it says, but he's not going to judge with his eyes. He's not going to decide by what he hears with his ears. It's just interesting the way Isaiah kind of frames that for you.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously it's the early church. I mean, we see this if we were to read other lectionary readings from today's second Sunday of Advent. One of those is Paul's writing in Romans chapter 15, where Paul sees this oracle of having been fulfilled in Jesus. So that's why it's important for us at Advent. We're celebrating, right, the expectation, the coming of the Christ child. Here is this one in our midst. We know in all the Gospels, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is here, it's come near, it's in you. This moment we've all been waiting for, Isaiah spoke about, here it is. Right? It's being launched. It's being birthed. You want in it? You want to be a part of it? Well, then you might want to, like myself, when we think about, I'm speaking as Jesus. Right? We would see in Jesus that somehow or another the Spirit of God is infused in him. To where it isn't about what he sees and hears, right? To where he's quick to judge. No, that infused spirit of God in him allows him to really practice justice and righteousness on behalf of the poor and needy. Mm. Right, which is a great reversal.
Mm. Yes.
Right, of his time, and we would think it would certainly be a great reversal of our time. Right, and we start thinking about that, then that fits very well with the reality of Neighbors of Hope and what we do. Right, is really to be, have that infused spirit in this organization that practices justice and righteousness on behalf of the poor and needy in our community. Right? So we would say that even Neighbors of Hope becomes a visible, tangible, right, evidentiary, right, organization that makes present the kingdom of God in our midst.
And doing that through the weak and through what society has deemed as the lesser is really cool to see, you know, how Isaiah frames this whole thing with this righteousness and this proper justice is going to come through this Messiah that leads like a child.
Yeah.
That leads like what we look at as something weak and needs care. You know, the inverse of God's kingdom like that is so beautiful.
Yeah, it isn't beautiful even as Jesus grows up from child to adult. He still has that childlike quality in him that you see the intimacy between him as son and father. Abba, you know, all the prayers, you know, he's talking the Father and I are one in John's Gospel and things like that. So there's this, if you want to say this unveiling, this revelation of his complete dependence upon his father. So everything is complete depends upon the infusion of the Spirit in him, right? He's been anointed, and we'll see that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. But Isaiah, right, is seeing this in the midst of a reality that's really missing the point on what God has called Israel to be a part of. All right, that's his prophetic statement. You're all going the wrong way, and when we get to going the right way, despite what we're experiencing and seeing and what we're hearing, doesn't mean God's left. God still has an intention for God's desire, and it may not look like it. We can say the same thing today. We look around and, is it? Are we just, what is Christmas except for us believers to anticipate, right? A renewal of the hope that really was birthed back in the time of Isaiah, fulfilled, right, with the incarnation of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now, right, living in the body, we have to still cling to that hope, even though our ears don't see it, or our ears don't hear it, and our eyes don't see it.
Go ahead. A lot of times I see things in the Bible, and like, say, for 30 years, I thought it was a certain way, and I really didn't know, just in general, like, the meaning behind something I was reading in the Bible, you know? So what about, like, for example, sometimes you might hear something in the Bible and think you know what it means, but you really don't. So what I'm trying to say is, like, for the maybe there's someone listening who doesn't know, like, what does Advent even mean?
Oh, wow. Well, excellent question. I guess that was a bit presumptuous of me, so I appreciate that. Advent is a season within the, what we'd say, the church year. It's kind of the beginning of the church year. Like anything, you start with a beginning, and the beginning for us Christians, our faith, is the birth of Jesus.
Right.
It's the beginning of the Christ event, mm-hmm. right? The incarnation. Mm-hmm. When we speak about the incarnation, we're talking about the infusion of God into humanity.
Okay.
Right? And so Advent literally would mean something like expectation, right? We're a sense of expectancy, mm-hmm. right? We're anticipating. We're waiting for the coming of this Christ child.
Okay.
Now, sure, every year we celebrate this as launches the church calendar, the church year. We know that this was already happened 2,000 years ago. But again, now it's like, the church is forever says Christ has come, right? Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Yeah.
So it reminds us to renew during this season our hope, right? To renew our sense of peace, to renew our sense of joy, that even it may not look like it, but it's been conquered, right? It's renew our sense of love, Right? All of those type of things we find in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Right? So, on one hand, we're recalling the actual birth, which is Christmas, but at the same time, we're participating in, right, our own expectancy of what Isaiah is saying, that, right, the Messiah, Isaiah speaking about, did come, but the vision of the peaceable kingdom has not been fulfilled yet. It's been inaugurated, but it's not quite fulfilled. So we are expecting its fulfillment. So Advent is a season of expectation, and the church starts every year. Right? Let's renew our hope. Let's renew our expectation. It's coming. Stay charged. Keep advancing it. Those type of things. So that's kind of what Advent
right. is. Right. Why do people celebrate that on December 25th?
Like Christ's birth?
Yeah, like people, you know, there's a general, I think, a belief out there that that's when Jesus was born.
It's more of a, historically, it's a bridge between the Roman government and Christianity.
Okay.
After about 300 years. This is the time of the winter solstice, which means that the days will start getting longer.
Yeah.
There'll be more light in the world. The Roman culture had a certain tradition of celebrating the winter solstice. Now that, if you want, I forgive the language, but if you want to say that Christianity has been legalized by the Roman Empire, or welcomed, no longer persecuted per se.
Uh-huh.
But if you're gonna celebrate this, we'd really encourage you to kind of celebrate it at the same time. Christians ran with that, you know, that whole winter solstice event, because they then would say, like in John's Gospel, darkness could not overcome the light, and they knew whatever Rome, right, paganism was looking at the winter solstice, we interpret that a whole different way. Our light has come into the world, and we call that Christ Jesus. Right, and darkness cannot overcome it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of how we landed on that. We biblical scholars, theologians, they don't know the exact date that Jesus was born. They have some speculations. We have some pretty decent guesses. But everybody agrees it probably wasn't December 25th.
Okay. Now going back to what we were reading in Isaiah chapter 11, the rule of the branch of Jesse. My notes, it says Jesse was David's father.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, what was he just like a herder? I mean, did he own like land? Like, what was his?
Yeah.
He was a regular type of guy. I mean.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, David was raised as a shepherd.
Right.
Right. The point here is David was viewed as being a very faithful king.
Okay.
He had shortcomings.
King David.
We're all aware of that. But when Samuel anoints David while Saul was king, it's because Saul was not being quite as obedient to God as he should be. Even though David had his faults, the nation of Israel viewed David as being the anointed king, right? That whose heart was after God's own heart.
Right? Correct.
So therefore, if there's ever going to be another king, if there's ever going to be another anointed one, he will come in the tradition of something along the lines of like what David implemented when he was king. All right, so from the root of Jesse. That's precisely when we get to Matthew, all right, the emphasis on why Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Right? To give credibility that he's of this line that Isaiah is speaking about.
I think too, I want to go back to the part like really talking about like the judge.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's really this call to raise, are you the judge that executes people, that removes people from things,
right,
that punishes, or are you the judge of the crusader? Are you the one that's fighting for the most vulnerable? And if you think about like earth and what we read even biblically, it talks about humans are the vulnerable in this world, because humans need everything else to survive. Everything else doesn't
completely
need.
Completely dependent. You're right.
And so we're so dependent on it. So why, you know, we look at the I guess the vulnerable in our community, And we're trying to push the vulnerable away. We're trying to remove them. Some good ways, some bad ways. Because we don't want to see them. We want them to be invisible to us because we're tired of our parks, our buildings getting destroyed by maybe the homeless. Maybe, you know, them begging on the streets or them just hanging around and drinking in the parks. We want to remove them from those situations rather than, so we want to exile them from the world in some ways. But instead of showing that compassion, be a crusader for them as human beings, because we want to protect our visual structures and buildings. And I think we're very skewed in our thinking right now and how we feel. We're so more emotional about physical objects rather than physical people.
I agree 100%. I think that's to some degree these are 21st century prophetic criticisms.
Yeah.
Against our cultural structures that oftentimes are predicated on a deep sense of dualism, us and them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the them, and to use your example, like the homeless. We really want them to become like us, who are non-homeless.
Hmm.
And that has some relevancy. Right? It's not, like you said, it's not to say it's entirely a bad thing. But rather than see the homeless as them, how do we already see the homeless as part of us, right? Community members, neighbors, things like that, to where we do come alongside of them in a spirit of solidarity grounded in compassion. Right, so that they have access to the resources that give them the wholeness of life that most of us are enjoying.
Yeah.
Right. So, access to the resources is the pursuit of justice. So to use the peaceable kingdom prophecy that Isaiah is speaking about, if we're going to say that we are the body of Christ, how do we come alongside those in that solidarity of compassion and help them have access to the resources so that they too can have the fullness of life God intended them to have.
Yeah.
All right, John, good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you very much for participating in this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.